I come prepared with a sermon, but I know this, that whatever the Spirit wants to do is the most important. Amen. I want you to see something, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. Now, God told, this isn't my preaching time. I mean, it may be my preaching time, but we're just gonna follow what comes up.
Yeah.
God told Moses, he said, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And it wasn't just let them go. It wasn't just let them go. It's to bring them into something.
Yes.
Bring them to the land that I will give them. So he's bringing them out for the purpose of bringing them in. You see, that's what, when he redeemed us and brought us out, it's for the purpose of bringing us into something.
Amen.
Right? So he told them that there was a land that he had already called theirs. It's already called theirs.
Yeah.
But there's people occupying what's called theirs.
Yes.
And is that right? Yes, that's right. And so God delivers them with all these astounding miracles out of Egypt. And they start their journey toward this land. They're on the way. And they did not carry with them the spirit of faith. And they started, you can understand, they held to that slave mentality, the complaining, the griping about the master. They were in this habit of speaking. And they carried that habit with them when speaking about Moses and God, and they complained and griped and grumbled all the way because that was the habit of slavery. They needed a new habit of a free man. Listen, we've been redeemed. We need not to be having the habits the old man taught us. The new man now is to show us new habits, and we have to yield to the new man habits instead of the old man habits. So they were bringing their old slavery thinking, because in their rights, because they were slave, I got a right to gripe about the boss, which, you know, that's what they lived under. So when they came under a new boss, so to speak, they still had that approach.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And so on the way, because they never changed the way they thought and the way they talked about leadership and the way they, to hook in with faith, they get to one point in the journey and stop. In the wilderness, they wander around for 40 years. They tell us that wilderness could have and should have been passed over in 3.5 days.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they lingered in a place they should have just passed through.
Right.
A lot of Christians are lingering in a place they should have just passed on through.
Yeah.
They're lingering at that old, that old marriage failure. They're lingering at that old offense. They're lingering at things that they should have just taken the word and just passed on through it.
That's right, Pastor.
But because they didn't take the word into that place and use that word into that place, they stayed where they should have just only visited. And it became the burial ground for the whole congregation except for two men.
That's right.
It even became Moses' burial ground. And so they are here in the wilderness with land that really is theirs, and they're not occupying it. But God's already assigned it to them. In the spirit realm, he called it theirs.
Amen.
Now he needed their faith to bring their bodies into what he had already deeded over to them.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yes.
So in this process, God is telling them what he'll do for them if they will move with him. There was a man that was quite well known for his prayer life. This was in the 1800s. And he was a minister, but he was well known for his prayer life. And he had the people of the city had a great regard for him because they saw when he started proclaiming some things in his city, in his community, and he started praying some things, it came to pass and it got the attention of people. And he was building some things for his ministry and buying properties. And one day, a landowner saw this preacher looking over a high fence. He's on his tippy toes and looking over it. And everyone knew who this man was. And when this landowner saw this preacher looking over his high fence, he says, "What are you doing looking over my fence?" He said, "Did God say something to you about that land?" This isn't a saved man asking him. And he said, "Yes, he did." And he said, "Well, then I'll sell it to you." He says, "I don't want to, but I've learned when you say God says land is yours, I've learned it's yours." See, when God says something is his, he doesn't care who's on it.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
When God changes the deed to your name in the spirit, it would benefit them to cooperate with that so that it won't be wrenched from their hands. Yeah, a year and a half ago, when God spoke to me about the next home, it was deeded to me in the spirit, so to speak.
Amen, that's right, yeah.
And when I approached the people who owned it, because Sister Amy's denomination owned it, precious people, and when I approached them, he said, "It's not for sale," but he said, "I know of your ministry," and he said, "You're the only one I'll sell it to." And I said, "That's right, because it's in my name in the spirit realm."
That's right.
And it was just a matter of time till it moved over into my possession physically. But this is what I wanted us to see over in Deuteronomy. Are you there with me? Deuteronomy chapter 7. Look at verse 22, because this isn't anything of what I planned to do tonight, but that's okay. This is telling us what we need to do to move into some things. Verse 22, "And the Lord thy God will put out those nations." Now see, he's talking about the people that God had already deeded the property to, in the spirit realm, so to speak. There's occupants on it. And if they would have the faith to move into it, if they would move forward. See, remember when Moses sent out the spies? And only two came back and says, "It's ours. We can take it. Let's go for it." The others said, "There's giants there." Instead of being afraid of the giants, they could have said, "Oh, good, the giants are taking care of it in a big way for us."
Amen. That's good.
It matters. Your approach toward things. So in verse 22 it says, "And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little." Look at this. Not all at once, little by little. And notice, the reason he does it little by little, it's for your benefit. That thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the fields increase upon thee. Yeah. So basically he's saying this, if I run the people out, then the land is going to become unruly.
Yeah.
And you've got to again work the land and retain the land. Let me leave the sinners there to be free laborers for you.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
The people that have the properties that are going to end up with your church, with your ministry's name on it, they're there as your employees, so to speak, that you don't even have to pay.
Yeah.
They're taking care of the building. They're building the building for you. They're decorating it. They're paying the utilities, and they're holding on to it. They don't know that, but you know that. They think that it's for them and all they're doing is being your employee.
Amen.
Not on the payroll.
Amen.
Working. That they are maintaining it and getting it ready for you to come.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Now see, those giants in the land and those enemy people that were in the promised land taking care of it, they enjoyed it far too long. Because God's people didn't keep the spirit of faith in their mouth. Now, go with me, if you would, over to Hebrews. Hebrews. And let's go to chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4. Well, let's do the last verse of chapter 3. 3 verse 19 says this, talking about the people that were delivered out of Egypt. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief makes it where you can't.
Right. Yeah.
You can't. You can't receive what God has in unbelief. Verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Look at this. But the word preached did not profit them. What a statement that is. There's such life in the word, but even the life in the word won't help. If, look at this, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So for the ability, the victory, the life that's in the word to profit, you have to mix something with it. It's called faith. How do you mix faith with the word? Your tongue is the mixer.
Amen. Amen.
Through your saying, you mix that word into your circumstance, into your situation. When you sit down to pay your bills and it looks like you don't have enough, you say, but my God shall supply. What are you doing? You're mixing faith into that situation. And until you mix the faith in with it, it won't change, the word won't change anything of your life until you mix the faith in with it. Well, I'm saying all this to say this, is that there are buildings and properties, plural, that belong to this ministry. But it's waiting for us to mix the faith in with it. We have to mix our faith. It won't come automatically to us. And then look down a little bit further. It says this down in verse 3. It says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Look at this last phrase. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. I'm going to read to you out of the Amplified that last phrase. His works have been completed and prepared and waiting for all who would believe from the foundation of the world. God has, when he says he's prepared something, how has he prepared it? He's put sinners on there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He's allowed sinners to go in and build buildings?
Yeah.
What? They're preparing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Who are they preparing it for? The rightful owner.
Yeah, that's right.
The rightful owner. It's prepared and waiting. Who's it waiting for? For all who would believe. Notice, it's not a name. It's just all who would believe. All who would believe. Sometimes God would author that a particular minister or ministry or person move into something, but if they don't have faith to move into it, all who would believe can have it.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to be all who would believe.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going to be all who would believe.
Praise God.
That's my name. all who would believe. Because there are many who won't believe. But all who would believe. For example, if your pastor gets up and he says, by the word of knowledge, there's someone here with back trouble today. He said, if you have back trouble, come up here. Well, let me ask you this. Doesn't God know who has back trouble? Couldn't he call you? Couldn't he say Frank, Henry, Sally? Yeah. You know, couldn't he call you? Yeah, but he says it in such a way that all who would believe can have it.
Yeah, that's good, Pastor.
He doesn't put a name on it because he's not limiting it to a person. He's offering it to all who would believe.
Yeah.
You understand that? Then if the pastor gives a call for something that maybe there's a person in here and you've got a difficulty with your foot and you see one person walk up, don't assume, oh, well, then they're getting it. No, no, no. All who would believe.
Amen.
That's why if somebody won't take it, I will. Pastor Noel was preaching in a prayer and healing school one day because Pastor Noel and Pastor Ruby run our prayer and our daily prayer and healing school. And he said, by the Spirit, God has a house in here for someone. Who is that? And nobody said anything. Nobody did anything. So I have a couple of administrators, and one of my administrators had just moved into a home. And just moved in. And she said, well, if no one will take it, I'll take it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that she just got one.
Right, yeah.
I didn't know what happened. And the next Sunday, I called her out and said, there's another home for you. Why? Because she took it a few days before in prayer and healing school. It was waiting for all who would believe. Anybody in there could have said it, taken it. But they wouldn't. Because they didn't mix faith with what they heard. You can sit in a room full of faith and full of people of faith and still not mix anything, still not lay hold of it, and the one who will believe it will take from you what you should have had.
Yeah, oh yeah. Come on now.
Good word.
Yeah. All who would believe can have it. All who would believe can have it. Well, I don't know if it's God's will for me to have more. All who would believe.
Yeah.
All who would believe.
Come on now. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. I like that phrase. Yeah.
All who would
believe.
All who would believe.
Yeah. When God gave the call in the spirit realm, said, who will go for me? Whom can I send? Who will go for me? And was it the prophet Isaiah who stood up and says, I will go?
Yeah.
Notice, he didn't say, Isaiah, will you go?
Uh-huh. That's right.
He gave a call, and Isaiah had the faith to hear it and to answer it and said, I will go. It was not assigned to Isaiah. It was offered to all who would hear and all who would say yes to it. Listen, the way you move into anything is say yes to it.
Yeah.
When you have no idea or resources of how to get it. That's called being one who will believe. Many want to say yes when the provision comes. But God is looking for someone to say yes, then the provision comes.
Praise God, praise God.
You have to have faith enough to say yes when there's no provision. You understand that? You have to have faith enough to say yes when there's no provision. Because why would God give the provision to someone who's not going to say yes? He wants to be sure of their yes answer before the provision comes. Doubt and unbelief wants the provision before they say yes, but they don't qualify for the provision until the yes is given.
Yes is given. Amen.
That's why a lot of people don't have... A lot of ministries don't have the buildings and things they need. They haven't said yes. I know of one church, precious people, but they have rented a building for over 30 years. They have paid a man's mortgage for him, and they have nothing to show for it in the sense of properties.
Right, sure.
And every time they would go to do it, something would happen. It would shut down. Why is it? Because either the people or the leader, I don't know who, it's not my business,
sure.
But you do learn some things from observing.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody didn't have faith enough to say yes. We were sitting in one of the services once, and the pastor was saying, there's a building we want to get. And he was saying how much it cost, and you could feel the whole thing shut down on him.
Yeah.
It's like somebody sucked all the air out of the room, and they're going, you can hear the gasping. Why? They didn't have faith to say yes, and every time he'd try to move forward, the people said no. So it matters that not only there be a call upon the pastor, an anointing on the pastor, the people moving with the pastor have to have enough faith to say yes when you don't know where the provision is going to come from. Whenever my husband and I went to build the church building that we're in, and the church owned 22 acres there. The ministry owned 22 acres. It was vacant land. And we were going to the bank to get funding, and the bank said, you have too much land. They said, you sell half of the land. Well, Ed did not want to lose part of that land, so we got it appraised, and then him and I bought 11 acres personally. So Ed had the idea, and then we built the building, the church, where the church is at, on the other 11 acres. So Ed had the plan to develop that, build office buildings, complexes, rent it out, you know. And then he said, then that, you know, will be basically what you would call income, retirement income. I mean, for your latter years, that's your savings account, so to speak. Nothing wrong with saving. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, Joseph had a plan of saving that saved a nation. And so Ed laid all the pipework, the groundwork, laid everything, did a large sum, put in several million into the property just to do all the prep work for the building. And never ended up getting that done. And then the Spirit of God spoke to him a couple of years before he went home to be with the Lord and said, lighten up. So he was looking to sell that property. And he found a buyer for it, but never was able to get it in escrow before he died. So after he went home to be with the Lord, I was able to get that property into escrow with these people. And so, make a long story short, it was very involved. And we took 10 months to complete escrow, to get that thing closed. Not anything on our end, but on their end.
Right.
And so whenever I went to, it took 6 hours to sign the papers just because they didn't have everything in order. Usually it takes like 30 minutes. So this thing, in every respect, was long and drawn out. So I'm signing the papers, sign it over, sign escrow papers, now it's theirs. And God said to me, I'm 5 minutes away from the escrow office. Finally got it signed at 9:30 that night. I'm driving back home. I haven't even gotten 5 minutes out of the office, and the word of the Lord comes to me and says, now, call it back into your name. He says, I'm giving it to them to build it and develop it for you.
Amen.
Because Ed was going to do that.
Right. Yeah.
But he said, he's not here to do that. And he said, I still want that for you. So he said, I'm going to give it to them to do that, and then you call it back. So we look out next door, and we watch them build for me. And one day, it will come back into my hands. But they're putting millions and millions into it. And your head could say, how can it come back? That's not my problem. My job is to be all who would believe. That's my job, be all who would believe. Be one of the all who would believe. And now I've got the whole staff saying it. Every time they look out next door, and we see them put, you know, because we got earthquake faults everywhere out there, you know. And so they have dug down, I don't know how far, Tony, 20 feet or so, 30 or 40 feet, and they lay these rubber things, and they put another layer of dirt, and then they lay more things, and just to, you know, compensate for all these earthquake faults and things. And every time they do a new layer, we say, do it really good. Do it really good. Do it really good. Just work it, work it, work it, work it, work it. Watch them sweat. Watch them, you know, through the grit of their teeth, get this thing done. You're working real good. Just keep doing it. But see, most people don't understand how to make it theirs when their name isn't on the paperwork yet.
Right.
I make it mine through what I say, not through paperwork.
Right. Yeah.
And every time I drive up, I say, do it real good because you belong to me.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then now you're seeing all the walls go up, you know, and they're doing it quick. And I go, I hope I like the colors they're painting for me. Why? Because in my thinking, it's mine. You understand? I'm just letting them do for me what pleases them. They think they're doing it for them. But the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Where is the wealth laid up? With the sinner. Don't get uptight when you see the sinner on what you thought was yours. It's still yours. And I'm just telling you, there are buildings and properties that people have been working, maintaining, building, and developing for us, for this era, for this revival, for this move of God. And you have to be one of the all who would believe so that you can take hold of what has been prepared. Because they thought they were doing it for their business when they were doing it for God's business.
Amen.
You know, Orville and Wilbur Wright just thought they were doing something as a hobby, you know. And what they were doing was facilitating the gospel to go around the world in an accelerated way. All these different things that have been developed and engineered in the last 100 years. Think about it. Think about it. For 6,000 years, people walked, rode horses, and rode donkeys for 6,000 years. And in the last 125 years or so, it went from horses and donkeys and camels and walking, buggies and wagons for 6,000 years to rockets in outer space in 125 years.
Come on.
That's end time stuff.
Yes, it is.
That's acceleration. And all of these things, all of these accelerations are for the gospel. To get God's men all over the earth in a quick way for the end time harvest. Television is not so that all the perversion can be broadcast. It's for people to see the end day miracles.
Yeah, that's right.
To see the end day signs and wonders. We're just letting the sinners use it.
Right. Yeah.
Why? They developed it, you know? They developed it for us. They think they developed it for their own well-being, their own profit, but they're really God's employees. Unpaid by God. Unpaid by us. But working real good.
Amen.
Things will come to us little by little as we as we be one of those who believe. And we'll move into things.
Glory to God.
We'll move into things. It's prepared. Isn't that what Hebrews says? It's prepared and waiting for all who would believe. Your home, it's prepared and waiting. But it's waiting. It's not waiting for your money. Notice it didn't say it's waiting for your money. It's waiting for your believing. It's not waiting for your income. It's waiting for your believing. Everything that you have need of is waiting on your believing. What do you believe about it? What's your faith say about it? That's what that which you have need of is waiting on. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So acceleration. And properties. Now what you're seeing happen, it's a domino effect. You're going to see pastors, a domino effect of the vision that God's put in you. Congregation, you're going to see it. It's not your job to throw the brakes on.
Come on now.
It's not your job. Say, oh, I don't know. I mean, we just got this building and now we're doing this and now.
Come on now.
It's waiting for all who would believe. Listen, there's a lot who should have had things, but they wouldn't believe. God will allow you to pick up what they did not have enough faith to pick up. Yeah. You know, Catherine Coleman made the statement. She said, this ministry I have, I was not God's first choice. I was his sixth. She said he went to five other men and they told him no. You know? Why would she know that? Well, no doubt the Spirit told her. Why? Because God hasn't just assigned something to a man. He's assigned it to the one who will believe. You understand that? If you will be the one who will believe, you'll receive things that other men should have had. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, it's okay if God wants to talk to us about these things and take us this direction, isn't it? It's okay. Why? Because he has more for us. I said he has more for us. There's something strategically, divine positioning happening. So that we can be up and running whenever the harvest, that we're not still trying to build a building during harvest season. We're not trying to build a barn during harvest season. That needs to be done before the great harvest happens. No farmer goes out and reaps a harvest without a place to put it. My dad, he just went home to be with the Lord in March. He was a cotton and wheat farmer. He had multiple barns. He had some on this land. He had some on this land. And he was always putting up stuff. Always putting up stuff. He was buying land just weeks before he died. The doctors told him 5 years ago, you've only got a year left. So he went out and started buying. Buying equipment, buying tractors, buying road graders. Why? Because he just kept doing. He just kept doing. And he built stuff because he intended to acquire. Just keep acquiring. You know, and this is what happens with people is they calculate and they quit based on their calculations. But Daddy, he'd keep building barns because he intended to get more and more and more. God is giving more and more and more to this ministry to get it ready for the harvest.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. These are harvest barns.
Yes.
These properties. Listen, the devil fights believers getting land. He fights you getting properties. He fights you getting homes because when you own that home, his plan is done on that piece of land. The devil's plan can no longer be worked. He loses space on the earth. He loses territories of the earth. That's why he fights believers getting stuff, and then believers lay down to it due to financial pressure or they think they don't have enough and all of that. It's not these properties and these lands, they're not waiting for your money. They're waiting for you to believe. God's got the resources if you will believe.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
I don't know the fullness of what this means of what we're talking about tonight, but it's a sign to something in the spirit realm. Yeah, you can take it for yourself. You are enjoying in your life everything you believed for.
Yeah. Amen.
Or you're not enjoying everything you believed for. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift up our hands. Father, we thank you. We thank you for that which shall come to pass. We thank you that all the provision will come. That's not our concern. Our job is to be all who would believe. So we believe you, Father. We say the properties come. We agree with that. Say this after me. Say all the properties,
all the buildings,
all the equipment,
all the
all the supplies, all the furnishings that belong to this ministry shall come. It must come because I believe, and it's prepared for those who believe. So I say it comes in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand with me to your feet. Let's just lift up our voice. Let's worship Him. Father, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You for the greatness of Your plan. We thank You for the greatness of Your plan. We believe it. We believe it. We believe it. Even before we even see the entire picture, we say we believe it. We're moving into it. We're moving into it. We are not leaving that which belongs to us with the unsaved. So we call, as we have called those properties, we say, Satan, you take your hands off the properties, off the buildings, off the supply, off the furnishings, off the equipment that belongs to us. And angels, you go and you cause to come into our hands that which belongs to this ministry in this era. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, when God told me that He was going to give me the home that I got and I was able to pay cash for it just a couple of weeks ago, when he told me that, about 4 months ago, one day I was walking through the house and something clicked on the inside of me and God said, it's completed. It's done. I knew He meant in the spirit realm. Now, let me tell you why I said that. Because right in the earlier time of when He told me He was going to give me that house, one night I was sitting at home. And I had fallen asleep sitting up on the couch because I don't like to go to bed. I will sit up until, you know, dawn if I could to not have to go to bed. So I'm sitting up but sleeping and my head's over like this. And all of a sudden my whole body jerked and I opened up my eyes because there was an angel standing there. He came into the room and I said, God, what's an angel for? And said, He's come to get you that house. So I assigned him to go. Well, a few months ago, about 4 months ago, when the Spirit of God said to me, it's done, I knew that the angel's work was done. That's what I knew. Now it had to go through different levels of votes, board votes and committees and different things. I knew that really the vote had already been cast. You understand that? Nothing they could have said or done would have convinced me that it wasn't done. See, it's done in the spirit realm before it ever plays out in the natural realm. The spirit realm precedes the natural realm. You have to receive things while they're in the spirit realm because it takes time for what you've received to show up in the natural. The natural realm is behind the spirit realm. The spirit realm is always in front. Does that make sense to you? It has to be accomplished in the spirit realm before it can show up in the natural realm. And many times there's a passing of time between the spirit being finished and the natural being finished. This is what we've done tonight, is we have laid hold of some things by this instruction of the Spirit, even things we don't understand with our mind. We don't have to understand it to lay hold of some things. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if I were you, and you were a businessman, a business owner or a businessman, I would say, Father, I will be one of those who believes so that I can become a funder. A funder. When you decide to become a funder of what God is doing, He will bring provision to you that you would have never had come to you just because you're a funder. Just because you're a funder. Now, if you become a consumer and consume it all, then he won't trust you with provision to come through because he sees that you'll just be a reservoir for it instead of a channel for it. Listen, I'm not telling you that God's going to require or ask you to give away everything. No. He will. Your life will be so wet with provision, so rich with provision yourself, that it just overflows in the funding of what you do. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Now, this is the next thing. I'm just taking one thing at a time that comes up in my spirit. Just saying one thing at a time, going to one scripture at a time, because I don't have the whole thing. This is too fun to do it this way. But the next thing that comes up in my spirit, and I don't quite know what it's for. I haven't talked about it with the pastor in detail. But the next thing that came up in my spirit is, now let's put an action with our faith. If we say we believe, let's act on that. Let me tell you something. Faith is an act. When you say words, that is an act, but you're only saying something so that your doing will know what direction to take. See, people think the confessing of the word is the arriving. No, not till you've done, you haven't arrived. Because faith is an act. But people stop at confession. I'm confessing this and I'm confessing it. And they confess and never arrive because they never let their confession lead them to their doing. Amen. See, God's word, God says things to us so we'll know what to say. Right? Yes. He says, my God shall supply all your need. Why? So that we'll know to say that. Right. He says that so we'll know what to say. So we can say, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But we say so that we'll know what to do. And if we just say and say and say and say and never do, you're not in faith yet. Because faith is an act. You're only in the process of it, but you're not at the fullness of it until you do. So tonight, that's what came in my heart. The next thing, to do. So we're going to, and the pastor can do whatever he wants with this. We're going to receive an offering. We're going to do. I don't know what it's going to go for. I just know that when we lay hold of something, now we need to do something regarding what we lay hold of. Amen. So reach in your pocket, reach in your purse, and get something. Get an amount. Get something for you to do something with. Because it's real easy to say, I believe it, and never do anything regarding what you say you believe. Amen? Hallelujah. And then we're not just going to pass the bucket. We're going to let you bring it up here. Hallelujah. I didn't intend to go this way. I don't even know what really way God had in mind for us. But listen, God is getting us in position for things we don't know about yet. You understand that? He's getting our faith in place for things that we don't even know about yet. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I want somebody, if some ushers can just put some buckets up here, just line some buckets up here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. These things are prepared and waiting. Just put them right up here. Just put especially right up here. Thank you. Hallelujah. These things are prepared and waiting. Prepared and waiting. Prepared and waiting for all who would believe. And until you act, you haven't reached full believing. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I thank you. I thank you for showing us what to say, showing us what to believe, and then showing us how to respond and act in line with the plan of the Lord. Now, Father, I believe that for every person who brings and sows their best and gives their best tonight, I thank you that you will bless them in a particular way. I thank you, Father, that all the money that what you've assigned to this ministry, it shall come. And all the money that these precious people need, it shall come. Their businesses shall be blessed. Their homes shall be blessed. We thank you, Father, for new homes for them, all the provision that they need. Let me tell you something. When your leader starts moving into things, it creates a domino effect. I told the congregation, I said, there has been such a momentum in the things of in the spirit realm around our ministry. There's been such momentum. I said, that momentum carried a new house in for me. And I said, since I got mine, you better get in line, get in line, get in line, get in line. But since you've got a new church, there in Erie, a new building, there's a momentum that accomplished that.
Amen.
Get in on that momentum personally. What have you been believing for? God, I'm getting in on the momentum that brought that building in. I'm getting in on that for my business, for my home, for my personal. Get in on the momentum of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Come and bring your offering. Thank you, Father. Sister Amy's home that I was able to build came into the hands of the Four Square Ministry. It had been out of their hands since 1939. The home was built, Sister Amy built it in 1929. Well, actually started in 26, finished it in 29. It took 3 years to build. She was in it for 10 years, had it for 10 years. And then it went out of the hands. It came back in 2010 into the hands of the Four Square. I have no doubt that God was moving it from who had it to the Four Square people. They put $1.5 million into it. Why? So that I wouldn't have to put $1.5 million into it. They were working on it. I appreciated it. For them, they thought. I went through the home with some students one day touring it. I went through a couple of times with our Bible school students. We were just touring it. After the first time I went into it, God said to me, a little bit after that, I'm going to give you that home. And I tried to talk him out of it, but, you know, thankfully he didn't listen to me. The next time I went through the home, I had already told my kids. That's all I'd told. I'd told my daughter-in-law and my sons. God told me he's going to give me that home. I hadn't told anybody. So we're going through it, touring it again with the next group of Bible school students. And the pastor who is there giving the tour, she's part of the Four Square, and she said, God has kept this home for a reason. He's not done with this home. There's a purpose for it. And I'm going, and you want to say, I know the purpose. But you know, be smart and keep your hand down. Then she immediately said, God has it for a purpose. And she turned to me and started talking about me and my ministry. And I thought, she doesn't know the link that she just put together by the Spirit. In 2010, God put it in their hands, because in 2015, he intended to put it into my hands. You understand, things travel through roots to reach you. And it is so impressive to watch God's divine thread link things together. And I'm saying that, don't lose heart, because you don't know who's working on what's yours. In 2010, when I was praying, I was no doubt praying regarding that property. Because in 2011, God told me, you're going to be in the home you're in for 4 years. See, I'd already prayed all that through. All that through. Pray in the Spirit regarding things that are in your heart. And then bring your faith and say some things, so that who's in your property, who's in your home, can't stay there beyond the time that they need to be out. Amen. It'll stay theirs until you believe. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Stand with me to your feet. Father, we thank you tonight. We rejoice. We rejoice that you're working right now. People that think that they are laboring for their own benefit, they're laboring for my benefit. They're laboring for the benefit of my church. They're laboring for the benefit of the plan of God. And it shall come. It shall come. It shall come. It shall come. Hallelujah. It shall come. It shall come. Hallelujah. 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 Just bless, you know, when people are driving to work in the morning, God bless them. They're working so good for us. Amen. Bless them. Strengthen them, Father, for the work they're doing for us. God is a genius. Yeah. Yeah. Let the world dig it all out of the earth. Let them pump it out. Let them work it and work it. And then once it's prepared, just here you go, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Who is that offered to? All who would believe. Amen. I knew this. If I didn't have the faith to say yes to that house, somebody else would have the faith to say yes to it. And I didn't want someone living in what I should have had. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You got something up here? You got something? Do something. Do something. for us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Someone's in your house. Someone's working on your building right now. Someone's working right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. What the Lord has said to me, it will surely come to be.
Said to one of the minister's wives there, he said, run. And she wasn't one given to running, but she took off running. And when she came back, the Spirit of God said to her, you just ran in your new house. And within a short, I mean within weeks, they moved into a wonderful home that God could only get them into.
Hallelujah.
You know, you just don't ever know what act of faith is connected to. That when you gave tonight, or when you spoke tonight, when you rejoiced tonight, you don't know what act of faith is connected to your receiving. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Of what's in you for that which God has for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, when God told them to march around the wall every day. But what's that going to do? It's an act of obedience. And then the seventh day, march around it seven times. You know, what's that going to do? How's that going to get us a city walking around it? Just obeying what the Spirit prompts you to. Amen. It's obedience. It's obedience He's looking for. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I am thrilled about what's coming into the hands of this ministry because it's over the next few years you're going to see it just domino effect. Yeah. Even beyond what you figured out and even beyond what your pastors have imagined or talked about. Yeah. What's our job? Be all who would believe. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You say, what are you waiting for? To be done? I just don't have the sense quite.
Almost there.
Hallelujah. Praise you.
Praise the Lord. Rising. I said it's rising. The tide level, it's rising. It's rising. Hallelujah. Tony, you got something, brother? Just do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Is there a mic handy?
Hello, check. This phrase has been coming up in my spirit. And the phrase is, and when I didn't have a dime, I still had a praise.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
When I didn't have a penny, I had a hallelujah. Yeah. And my praise is enough.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
My praise is enough to get me to the other side. So if you don't have a dime in your pocket and you're believing God for some things, you actually have the answer, and it's in your mouth. It's in your dance. It's in your shout.
Come on.
It's in your rejoicing.
Yeah.
It's in your action. You're not saying nothing until you're doing something. You're not really saying anything until you're doing something.
Come on.
Like she said, you may have been believing, but if you haven't put action and said something out of your mouth, and actually maybe your body done a little something to show that you believe in God for something, you really haven't done nothing yet. And if you don't have a penny in your pocket, you still got to praise. So come on, let's praise. Start moving, start shaking, start doing something. Come on.
Thank you.
I'll be honest with you, that just wasn't good enough yet. I mean, there's enough seasoned saints in here to know when we really hit the spot. We haven't hit the spot yet. Come on!
Difficult situation with a project. Had difficulties with the city, had difficulties with different entities that were involved in it. And it looked like it was going under. That whole deal was going under. And so I got up one morning and I just started praying in the Holy Ghost and praising. And while I was doing that, the unction to dance came on me. So I got, not that I felt it, I just had the leading to do that. And so I got up and I danced. And when I did, the word of the Lord came to me. And he said, in the praising, power flows. In the rejoicing, power flows. See, that's why we rejoice, because it releases. It's not just a physical thing we're doing. We're cooperating with power that flows. Later that day, the city had been ruling one direction for 10 months. That this they had put forth that this is the way it was going to be. That one day, I went in, met with the city, and they changed. After 10 months, they changed. It wasn't the city that changed it. It was the praising, the rejoicing that changed it. Because when I rejoiced, then the power of God could work and accomplish what I had tried for 10 months to accomplish and couldn't get it done. But the power of God did it, and the praising, the rejoicing is what opened the door for the power. Rejoicing opens the door to the power of God. You understand that? So when Brother Tony says, we're not quite there yet, he's saying the power is not flowing the way it needs to be in your behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.